My dearly beloved in Christ, today we have an incident that is one of many in which our Lord cast out a devil. And it would seem from reading the Gospels that cases of possession were more common at the time of our Lord than they are today, at least insofar as we are able to see. Now, when I refer to possession, diabolical possession, it means that the devil is permitted by God to control a person's body. And oftentimes the devil will speak through the person's mouth, and it won't be that person speaking, but the evil spirit that has control of his body. And we read also that it says that the evil spirit that possessed this man was dumb. He would not speak. And our Lord drove him out, and immediately the man was able to speak. And as pitiful as is the state of possession, there is something worse. And that is the devil possessing the person's soul. Because in a case of diabolical possession, the devil has control of the body, but not of the soul. And obviously it is far greater, far worse, far more tragic if the devil has control of one's soul by the person giving in to mortal sin. That is a person opening up his heart, opening up his soul to the devil. Yesterday, we had in the Mass, the Gospel, a wonderful parable, a wonderful story that I would like to paraphrase and comment on, especially because it is not read on one of the Sundays of the year. Of course, there's so many wonderful stories from the Gospels that they're not all used on the various Sundays. So again, yesterday, on the Saturday of the second week in Lent, we had the Gospel story of the prodigal son. And as the story goes, as our Lord explained it, a man had two sons. Now this man was well-to-do. He had a large farm, large estates, many servants, and he was a very good man. He had two sons. One day, the younger of them, probably now in his 20s, went up to his father and said, "I would like to travel. I'd like to travel and see other lands, and I ask you to give me the portion of the inheritance that would be mine, so that I can go on my journey." And the father was very grieved, because of course he loved his sons and did not want to see him leave home and go to a far country where perhaps he would never see him again. But even though he was grieved, he gave in to this request, and he divided the substance, the inheritance, and gave a large amount of money to the younger son. So then the younger son went off and settled in a foreign country. And living there, he squandered all of this wealth that his father had given to him. So much so that after a period of time, he completely squandered all of this large amount of money, wasted it with friends drinking and impurity and just squandering this money. And it got to a point where he was very poor, had almost nothing, and finally had to take employment, and all he could find was a job of feeding swine for the owner of these animals. And a famine came over the land, so that now he was starving. And it says that he even wanted to eat the food that was given to the swine to eat. So much so was he starving. And in this pitiable state, he said to himself, "I must return to my father's house, because even the servants in my father's house are far better off than I am in this foreign country, starving to death, having almost nothing to eat. I know what I will do. I will go back to my father and I will fall on my knees and I will say, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and you. I don't deserve to be called your son. But at least receive me back into your home as a servant. Make me the lowest of the servants in your household and I will work for you.' because I don't deserve to be called your son. So resolving that in his mind, he went on the return journey. And finally, arriving home, the servants of his father noticed him coming, and they recognized him, and they went and told the father. And the man came out and went to meet his son. And as the son was trying to fall down on his knees to beg forgiveness, the father wouldn't let him but embraced him. The son started to say, "I don't deserve to be called your son," and the father would hear none of it, because now he had his son back. And he told the servants, "Prepare a banquet. Invite my friends. We must celebrate, because my son was lost and he is now found again. He was, as it were, dead, and now he's alive." Of course, here we have a wonderful example of God the Father, our loving Father who gives so much to all of his children, both materially and spiritually. We also see in this parable God's forgiveness. And we must never doubt God's mercy, that as long as we are truly penitent, sorry for our sins, we make a good confession, our sins are forgiven, because God is merciful and he delights to forgive. But the older of the two sons was angry. He came in from working in a field and heard the music and the merrymaking, and he thought, "What's going on?" And the servant said, "Oh, your younger brother is home, and your father ordered us to prepare a feast." And he was angry because he said, when the father went out to ask him to come in, he said, "No, I won't join in the feast, because I've always been here serving you. I've never insulted you or disgraced you as my younger brother did. And you never gave me a banquet like this that I might celebrate with my friends. And now look what he has done. He has dishonored you, and you are receiving him back into the home as though nothing ever happened." And the father said to his older son, "It is right that we celebrate, for your son was lost and has been found. He was dead. He's alive." And again, a wonderful example of God's mercy and forgiveness. During the season of Lent, we reflect upon the passion of our Lord. And of course, the entire passion is a great tragedy, a terrible evil of the chosen people rejecting the Messiah, the one they had prepared for, the one that had been predicted by their prophets. But one of the saddest parts of the story of the passion is the betrayal of our Lord by one of his chosen 12, Judas Iscariot. But what is even worse is that Judas despaired. He thought, "Our Lord will never forgive me." It says he repented, but his repentance wasn't unto forgiveness, because he didn't ask for forgiveness. He was sorry for what he did because his conscience tormented him. He went back and gave back the money that before he had craved so much. Now he didn't want it. It was a burden on his conscience. And the chief priest said, "No, we don't want it back." And so he took it and just threw it on the floor in the temple and fled and hanged himself. He despaired. Why? Because he thought that his sin was so great that it could not be or would not be forgiven. But there is no such thing as a sin that is so great that it cannot be forgiven. We say in the Apostles' Creed, the latter half of the creed, "I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins." What do we mean by that? I believe in the forgiveness of sins. We believe that if a sinner repents, is truly sorry, makes a good confession, there is no sin so great that it cannot be forgiven and will not be forgiven for a sinner that truly repents. In today's gospel, we have that story of the possessed man being exorcised, the devil being exorcised, the man being delivered. And it says he was dumb and couldn't speak. And that reminds me of something that Father Mueller says in his book on confession, The Sinner's Return to God, a wonderful book. And he tells a story of a priest going to the confessional to hear confessions. And when he comes to the confessional, he finds a devil standing there by the door where the penitents go in. And he says to the devil, "What are you doing here?" And Satan says, "I'm here to give back to sinners what I take away from them when I tempt them to sin." And the priest said, "What is that?" He said, "Well, when I tempt a sinner to commit sin, I take away from him a sense of shame, that everyone has a sense of shame about sin. I try to tell him, don't worry about it. No one will see you commit this sin. No one will know about it. So I take away his sense of shame so that he will commit the sin. But when he resolves to go to confession, I give it all back to him. And I try to make his sense of shame so great and so strong that he's too embarrassed to confess his sin, so that he will make a bad confession, that he will leave out what embarrasses him, and therefore will not receive absolution and will make a bad confession." And that's like the man in the gospel who is dumb, unable to speak. How many sinners there are who go into the confessional and for all practical purposes are like that dumb man. They speak, but they're not forthright. They fail to confess their sins properly. They hold back something, or they disguise it or gloss it over out of shame, out of embarrassment. Let us resolve during this season of Lent to get rid of the devil, exorcise the devil. He had possession of this poor man's body in the gospel. But when a person commits a mortal sin, the devil has possession of that person's soul. Let us give up sin once and for all forever. Let us repent. Make a good confession. Be truly sorry for our sins and be resolved never to commit them again. That is what Lent is really about. A time to return to God. A time to be sorry. And let us also trust our Lord's forgiveness. Never doubt that sins that you committed years ago that you know you confessed properly with proper sorrow and purpose of amendment, never doubt that they were forgiven. God is merciful. He is that loving Father who welcomes back the prodigal. There's no sin that he cannot or will not forgive if the sinner is truly repentant. Let us then give up sin forever. Embrace the wonderful life of a Catholic who not only believes what God has revealed, professes the faith, but lives it, receives the sacraments regularly, lives a prayer life, avoids occasions of sin, and lives a life striving for virtue. We're human. We fall from time to time. Make a good confession, resolve to amend, and return to the grace of God. That is what makes life worth living and what makes eternity something that we look forward to, living a life of grace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.